way government regains the trust of its citizens is by telling the truth. There is no other way, no shortcut.
I call upon our government to open up like the Belgians have, the French have, the Brazilians have, the Argentines, the Mexicans have all released their files. It's about time now that we do the same thing and become a part of this planetary community.
It is way past time for all of us to know what our own government knows, instead of being kept in the dark by a policy of denial.
The last time the Congress held a hearing addressing the extraterrestrial issue was 1968, 44 years of sightings ago. In those 4.5 decades, hundreds of thousands of new sightings have taken place. Government agency witnesses have come forward. Media coverage has expanded. Hundreds of documentaries have been produced, thousands of books have been written, and yet the United States Congress has remained silent. So for a period of 5 days, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., 2 blocks from the White House, and 12 blocks from the Congress of the United States, we're going to conduct a citizen hearing on disclosure of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. 40 to 50 witnesses of high rank and station, from military, from agencies, possibly from intelligence services, along with the top researchers in the world, will give 30 hours of testimony to 5 former members of the United States Congress.
So maybe the citizens' hearing has a chance to try to leverage open some of the truth about the fact that we're not alone in this universe, that we might actually begin to look at what we really are, what the true history of this planet is. And that might be what gets us into a future without self-destruction.
The motto of the citizen hearing is, if Congress won't do its job, the people will.
Greetings, everybody. This is Beth. Welcome to Galactic Roundtable, Countdown to Disclosure. I'm very pleased today to introduce you to our guest, Stephen Bassett. Stephen is the Executive Director of Paradigm Research Group. Also, he's the producer of the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure and the producer with Just Cause Entertainment for the Truth Embargo documentary. So everybody, welcome to the program, and welcome, Steve. Thank you for coming back.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for inviting me back.
Sure. Steve, I have a list of questions as usual, but I have one burning question, and I think it may be everybody's question. Please comment for us about how the citizens' hearing on disclosure went and what's next.
The concept proved very valuable, very useful. We've gotten a lot of reviews. We've gotten rave reviews from all around the world. All right, hang on. I seem to have gotten into a funny place here. Forgive me. I'm on the move all the time, so it's hard sometimes to have the online connections we'd like to have.
Yeah, no worries. We're just glad to be here.
I'm stepping away to get some more signal.
Sure.
All right, won't be long.
Sure, no problem.
Forgive me. I'm in the middle of an interview, so I'll try to do it. All right.
It happens.
Okay. We've gotten rave reviews from all over the world, coming in on Twitter, Facebook, the usual modality, email. That this was a breakthrough event, which it was. It lasted for 5 days. There were 40 witnesses, 30 hours of testimony. There were 6 former members of Congress involved who had 80 years of experience in Congress between them. And it was fully filmed so that the press had time to get involved, to get down there. If they didn't catch it the first day, they caught it the second day. And as a result, we had a substantial amount of press coverage. You never get as much as you want, but we got a great deal. The filming of the documentary went well. We'll be getting into that shortly. So the event had as much impact as we could have hoped to have for now. It's only just started. It's only just the beginning. But the goal of this hearing, the citizen hearing, was to send a message to the press that it was simply time for them to get into this in a big way, to get in investigatory mode and really start asking tough questions. And the other target audience was the Congress, that they're not doing their job. Their approval rating is abysmal, 10%. They're kind of an embarrassment, literally, to the country and to themselves. And now they have the biggest issue in the world to take on, with hundreds of witnesses ready to testify before them right now under oath. And if they were to initiate substantial hearings with these kinds of witnesses, their approval rating would increase exponentially. So that was accomplished, but we're going to keep the pressure on. We're not going to let up.
Right. So I was at the citizens' hearing on disclosure each day, and I heard the former members of Congress suggesting that perhaps it would be a good idea if there was a congressional hearing on this topic. And a part of me was thinking, well, we spent some hundreds of thousands of dollars to create a congressional hearing, and we're doing that. So do you think maybe that's something that's next? The testimony's out there. It can't be taken back, and it's only going to get bigger. So would it be a benefit?
Evidence has been out there for years.
Right.
The witnesses have been available for years. Right?
40, 50, 60.
The media has been approached. They just don't ask. In other words, it's not that they have everything they need. They have witnesses, they have evidence, they've got data, they've got everything. They just won't do it. And the reason they won't do it is because there's a truth embargo in place, which has been heavily promoted and subsidized by the government. And it's become institutionalized so that people just think, well, there's just no need to. We don't want to do this. We don't talk about this. We don't engage this. And that truth embargo is what has to end. It has to end. The only way this issue advances is if the embargo, the acknowledgement of the issue by the executive branch of the United States government comes to an end. And that's what we're shooting for. Nothing less than that.
An announcement from a head of state.
Yeah, it can start with any one of about 13 countries.
Mm-hmm.
The most likely would be the United States. But it doesn't have to be the United States. And once one head of state finally goes before their citizens and acknowledges there's an extraterrestrial presence, then the rest will follow almost immediately. So that would be the disclosure event. That's what we're seeking. And we took a big step for it last week. We put this whole issue into new territory. We've brought in the media at a very substantial level. We have 32 hours of witness testimony, high definition. We've got interviews with witnesses as well as former committee members. All of that is on the internet and spreading virally right now. even the 32 hours. I mean, people are putting up the entire 32-hour webcast, which is proprietary, and we have to modify. We have to put that, make that available for subscription for a while. But I understand their eagerness, and they're hungry to see this material out. But this project was not done with a grant. It was done with a production deal for the documentary, and we owe $1.6 million to the executive producer to put this out. And while I appreciate people's need to get it, we're pulling that information down when people are posting, you know, the lengthy pieces on this this hearing, including the entire amount. We're having to pull the video down, and I'm sorry, but we have to pay these bills off, or we can't go forward. We can't do anything. We'll be completely frozen.
Right.
That's good.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah, and we need.
I haven't done that yet, but I could have been one of those.
Okay.
But I won't. I understand.
Put enough information up about that, and that's our mistake. We need to do that so that people will understand why we're pulling these videos down that are being put up essentially without our approval.
Right.
But what's most important here is that the videos are there. There's going to be limited clips of this testimony and the interviews that took place so that the press can't run away anymore. They can't just dismiss it. Say, well, something happened, but we forgot what it is. It's not there. It's going to keep coming back, coming back, coming back. A lot of the witnesses were interviewed for media, and some of the number of the committee people. We had six former members of the U.S. Congress, including one senator. That was those interviews are out there. We can continue to put those forward. And so at some point, the reporters and editors working for the major papers, as well as producers within it for the talk show, and even owners of networks are going to realize that, one, the greatest news story is right under their nose. The only reason it is completely out is because the government has spent 65 years trying to contain the story, the media, Congress, colleges and universities, we call that the truth embargo. The government is fully aware, though, of this extraterrestrial presence, and it's up to them to decide whether that's news that the American people need to know about. I think some of them are going to make a decision now, soon, that yes, just like American people need to know about the transgression of the Nixon administration, President Nixon, the transgressions of the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton, I think the American people need to know about what the government knows about the fact that we're being engaged by national intelligence. And have been for a very long time. So,
right.
This is getting really serious now. We spent $600,000 on this here, and if we're able to generate income from the webcast and from crowdsource funding we're going to do on the documentary, plus, of course, the documentary itself, which we hope to put in commercial, theatrical, full theatrical distribution, we're going to hold more hearings. We're going to drive more advocacy. So the truth embargo is basically finished. It just doesn't know it yet. Right?
Right.
They don't know
right.
it yet. But they're done. They ought to stick a fork in it.
Right. I want to ask you a serious question about the media. What I'm going to say is it's all hearsay. I don't know how much of it's true. But we were told back in 2010, 2011, that certain members of the media, probably included would be Rachel Maddow, Keith Olbermann, others of their ilk, were taken into a 6-week training period where everything about disclosure was told to them, and they were given materials, and that they already have prepared disclosure announcements ready for when this breaks. That's the rumor that I heard. And also about the media, that they have a gag order on them and they've been told not to speak about it. So how much is that about, you know, people who own the media, telling them not to speak about it, or how much of that was protecting them?
Well, I have no information regarding any kind of meeting that was held to educate talk show hosts like Rachel Maddow. Gag order is not quite the word I would use. Mm-hmm. The truth embargo was begun in the 1950s. It was heavily pursued by the government. That the amount of direct media cooperation may never be known. I doubt there were a lot of things put down on paper, but clearly they went along with it, like they went along with the government's needs during World War II. Everybody understands that. No big surprise there. They continue to go along with the government's requirements regarding the key issue of post-World War II. Finally, because it went on so long, and I'm referring here to the Cold War, which lasted it lasted 24 years, that the truth embargo literally became institutionalized so that it had a life of its own. So it's almost like the papers don't need to get an email from the CIA or anything saying, now don't forget, you can't really ask any hard questions about this. Just write some stuff up, write up what's going on. Don't go talk to Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or John Podesta or the chief of staff. Just stand down on that. No investigation. The Clinton administration saying to Woodward and Bernstein and Ben Bradley, look, you know, it's okay to write up what's going on in the administration, just write some articles, but don't investigate. Don't go asking any questions of this. Don't go investigating any questions or asking tough questions about this issue. That's kind of the mode they're in. So we're going to try to break that open. We're going to try to finally just break that open. Right? And once and for all, get this done. See, you know, we have to move past the language of moderation and equivocation, the kind of humble approach, meaning, well, there's a lot of evidence, but you never know, and the government does say it's not true, so you've got to give the government some leeway, and blah, blah, blah. We have to get past all this. Right? The government is steadfast, spot-on lying about this, and has been for 65 years. Right. The truth embargo is part of the national security, so the word lie offends you. It's okay. I get it. But it's a lie. And it's an orchestrated lie. It's an institutional lie. And people are afraid to speak up. They're afraid to really state matter-of-factly that there's an ET presence. Just like in every advocacy movement, there are people that want to speak truth to power to really state it. Everybody's saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because that will incite resistance, or people will be offended. You know, the truth is the truth. And if you're not going to speak it, you're not going to speak the whole truth or nothing but the truth, you should get out of the advocacy business, certainly the truth advocacy. We need to move past that. And I'm determined to do that, and more people are. And so right. The fact is there's an ET presence, the government knows about it, the government has embargoed it. And there's a couple other key facts. After that, there are areas of understandings which have probabilities associated with them.
Right.
To what extent there is any kind of formal, direct suppression of what the media says or does on this issue is, for right now, not known. All right? But clearly, any casual examination of how the media covers it will demonstrate that the way they deal with it is completely anomalous. It doesn't fit their modus operandi. It doesn't correspond to their journalistic ethics. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why, you know, there's something wrong, right? There's something totally wrong. And what is wrong, of course, is that there's this truth embargo that they're sort of going along with. So when they ridicule or make some stupid statement out of sheer ignorance, they know they can kind of get away with that, because under the truth embargo, you do get away with it. But less and less is that the case. Increasingly, they're going to get slapped down. And as a there's a perfect example of this that just took place, and that is, The very first day of the citizen hearing, the New York Daily News set a reporter, Dan Friedman, down, and he did a complete hatchet piece. It was just as bad as you can do.
I saw it,
making a complete joke out of everything.
Right.
And they got so much grief over that.
That's good.
That they set him down at the end of the week to do another straight and fairly good story.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That is a perfect example of why we're in a new time.
Yeah, we are. At the National Press Club, in front of the elevator banks, was a brass plaque. And it had raised letters, and it was speaking about truth and journalism and integrity.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of a little bit sick looking at that. And I wonder how these journalists feel about complying with the truth embargo. I think some of them don't want to.
I think many do not want to. Yes, I think the Medical Center Metro. I think that a significant portion of media today would like to engage a story and know it's true. They have access. All the reporters and editors and publishers have access to the same research that's out there that we do. The same books, the same websites, all of that. It's all out there.
Right.
Obviously, they probably necessarily have access to inside deep materials that are in the military intelligence complex, though some do, you know, at least in terms of what we call, you know, background sources, private sources, off the record, that kind of stuff. So they kind of have figured it out. But in order to go forward, they have to be green-lighted by their publisher or their editor, right? And if they're not, they're not going to do it, because to go forward without that green light is basically to end your job. They're going to fire you.
Right.
It's the same thing with the pilot. The commercial pilots were told, don't talk about this, or we'll fire you. The military pilots were told, don't talk about this, we'll demote you. I mean, it was extremely easy to quiet the pilot.
We'll take away your things.
The same thing. Now, this kind of suppression of truth on a broad-scale basis, ultimately, while it may have short-term benefits to national security, does great long-term damage to national security. And we're seeing the results of that, because since they have not ended this embargo 20 years after the Cold War, in those 20 years, we've seen the media's approval rating plummet. We've seen the congressional approval rating plummet. And the reason for that is the American people have figured out Congress is not telling them the truth, not doing its job, and the media is not telling them the truth and not doing its job. And
right.
Since that's exactly what they're supposed to be doing, then your approval rating is going to fall apart. And then once the approval rating is falling apart, you can't get anything done. If nobody trusts anybody, why are they going to act on anything they do? Why are they going to take measures? Why are they going to be motivated to engage? They're not. And so we can't fix our bridges. We can't fix our institutions. We can't fix our finances. And the country is slowly sinking. The stock market is up right now. Certain individuals are getting rich again. But it's a tiny, tiny few milking the system, milking the dying cow for every ounce of milk it can get while it dies, and the rest of the people are going to pay the price. This is the kind of situation we're in. And all I can say is it better change pretty soon. I don't think we have a whole lot of time.
I happen to agree. I have a question about the acknowledgement of disclosure from a head of state. And my feelings are aligned perfectly with yours regarding this, regarding, you know, I teasingly, I always say, Barack, I hope you're listening. But what I want to talk about is the 13 other countries. What would they say, acknowledging disclosure, that would force the United States to come quickly behind and admit to it?
All of the countries that have been releasing files since 2004, includes France, and the UK, and Australia, and Canada, Uruguay, Brazil, Mexico, Denmark, Sweden, and so forth. They all have air forces. And all of these air forces are essentially required to protect the airspace of those nations. And those airplanes are sent up anytime, anything. Well, their office to intercept and address incursions into the national airspace of nations. And when these planes are set up, they have cameras on them, always. Are commonly referred to gun cameras.
Right.
And these cameras are there in order to film exactly what happened. This is a record, so they can understand not only what took place, but also should there be an incident of some kind, they have a record to refer to show what happened in order to avoid major diplomatic consequences. People, you know, I think understand this intuitively. This is not rocket science. We had cameras on our combat planes in World War II so that we could film the combat, right? Because we want to know what was happening. And so they were pretty good back then. I can assure you they're even better now.
Yeah, those films are on YouTube. We've all seen them.
Sure. But let me tell you something. As far as I know, not a single foot of gun camera footage from National Air Force intercepted planes has ever been released. And you want to know why? Because if they release footage of their planes chasing Biffs that they can't catch, making extraordinary maneuvers, I guess that would be the end of the truth embargo, wouldn't it? And so all of these nations have that kind of footage and other information. And I can assure you, if the president of any one of those nations, or the prime minister, whatever, goes before their citizens, they will provide the kind of evidence, keeping in mind that half the world's people pretty much will agree that ETs are here now. I mean, so it's not like they really are only trying to convince the second half, but half of the second half of the people are leaning probably that way anyway. So it's not as if they have to put on quite a show. They will show some evidence that's pretty persuasive. And that will, of course, set the media's hair on fire and launch huge numbers of people around the world to start really pressing the government. Their government, and that's why the other nations, unless they want their leaders and politicians to be chased up and down Pennsylvania Avenue or the streets in their capital with screaming press behind them, with pens clicking and cameras clicking, to quickly move to acknowledge the ET presence so that they can sort of normalize the situation. That's what you can expect. The real issue is which nation will go first. And the message that I send to the president through the media over and over and over again, if there's anybody in your administration that's advising you that the United States has total control over all the nations of the world, and they do exactly what we want all the time, and there's no nation would dare preempt our prerogative here and announce the ET presence first, that advisor, well, really needs to be doing something else, another job perhaps, on another continent. So the president's got to understand he's running out of time here.
Right. It's very serious. Okay, regarding this question, towards the end of the hearing, the chairman was speaking, and you interrupted him, and it's not the first time I've heard you say this, and you said something of the gist that you're pretty sure President Obama knows what's going on with this. Can you talk to us about that a little bit? I mean, because we're sitting here saying...
Or did someone else say that at the hearing?
You said it. You said that maybe when the answer came back from OSTP, maybe it was a message saying, you know, I felt that message was telling us, okay, you guys, you need to double down your efforts because we have more work to do before we have an announcement. And so at the end of the hearing, you said something along the effects of maybe President Obama does know what's going on, and maybe he's helping us in some way.
Oh, yeah. The White House issued a statement in 2011, November 4th, that was a written statement, formal statement, first time the White House has ever put a position on the ET issue in writing, that was extraordinary. They stated in writing that there was no evidence whatsoever of an ET presence, you know, life outside the planet, or that any life outside the planet engaged the planet or human beings, and no credible information that the government has been withholding anything. These are remarkable three sets.
Right.
For three reasons. One, they're completely false.
Right.
Demonstrably false. Secondly, they're indefensibly false.
Yeah.
One can make a false statement, but put up a hell of an argument to defend it, right? Its truthiness, as it were.
Mm.
They couldn't do it. They wouldn't have a chance. If they were to go on stage or send one of their top people out to defend that statement with any of the major researchers or advocates, it would be a slaughter.
Right.
So it's not defensible. But three, it is the first time in history that they put a position in writing, an easy target, as it were.
Right.
I wonder to this day if the White House, unable to act because they can't get any cooperation from the military intelligence world, meaning hard information, real briefings, and so forth, didn't hand us this gift and say, we can't say anything positive, so we'll give you the absolute negative, the absolute denial, and then you tear that apart, and maybe we'll get this closer. Who knows?
But right.
It's you know, the president doesn't have to have been given a huge briefing about the entire E.T. phenomenon since the 1940s to, quote, know there's an E.T. present.
Right.
It could be as simple as somebody in his administration that's in the know, just kind of taking him aside and saying, Mr. President, can't provide you any information, we can't access it, but you should know that the E.T. presence is real. It takes about 30 seconds.
Or even his wife or one of his kids might have said that to him at some point.
Well, recently, the president met with Will Smith, and Will Smith had his precocious young son, Jaden, with him. And Jaden's into the issue, and he asked the president right out, you're an extraterrestrial president, is it real? And the president gave him somewhat, I would just say, moderating response. And you say no, he didn't say yes.
Mm.
The president of the United States is in a very difficult position. I don't envy him. The other nations, the presidents of other nations are also in a different position, too. But particularly the U.S., and that is that the president cannot get information from the military intelligence community, can't get a briefing anymore. The Senate, House Intelligence Committees can't get briefings. They're cut out of the loop, right? They're on a need-to-know basis, and they don't need to know. So they don't have the kind of substantive, concrete information that you would normally need to make a major policy decision like that. They're just shut out. Meanwhile, the evidence mounts around them. Other nations are taking action. The press is increasingly covering this. And so, obviously, that puts a lot of pressure on the head of state.
Right.
Not too long ago, in Japan, I think we're going back about 4 years.
Uh-huh.
One of the Japanese ministers, cabinet ministers, in a context of some sort of interview, just kind of let it drop that this presence of extraterrestrials were real. And it created a firestorm in Japan, and the prime minister had to kind of step in to quiet things down.
I think I remember that, yeah.
So probably that minister was told, don't do that again.
Mm.
Same here. So the president's in a really tough position. And the only way out of this dilemma that I see, assuming the ETs don't park some 10-mile-wide motherships over the Capitol, is somebody representing the executive branch with knowledge, savvy about this subject. Perfect candidate would be John Podesta.
Right.
Need to meet with somebody representing the interests of the military intelligence who will give them their due, are responsible for our national security. Almost all those people are down there making regular salaries. They're not getting rich, right? They're not oil executives with vested interest in keeping us in the 20th century.
Right.
They just want to protect the national security. So, if someone from the executive meets with their representative, They would then work out the necessary, how would you say, understanding. What do they need to provide the president? And what does the president need to assure them? So disclosure can go forward in the best interest of the United States. Once that meeting is held, and it's a private meeting, I'm not saying they hold it on the mall or anything and put out invitations. Once that understanding is reached.
I hope I'm on that invitation list.
Then disclosure could happen immediately. It probably would. And that's the thing you have to do. I mean, I realize that government seems to be stagnant now, and nobody really can do anything. Everybody's got excuses. But this is not that complicated. The president and the military intelligence community have got to come to a private understanding for disclosure to take place.
Right.
And once they do that, we go forward. If they don't, they're going to wake up one morning, they're going to pick up the Washington Post, and the front cover on it. Of course, actually, that won't be that way. They'll be on their computer, or one of their staff will be on the computer, and within 12 seconds after the announcement is made, it's going to slam on the internet and in the face of just about everybody in the world.
Right.
The leader of the People's Republic, China, or the president of Russia, Putin, or Prime Minister of France, maybe even the UK, will have just gone before the people and finally acknowledge we're not alone in the universe and we have visitors. And then the president is going to have a really, really tough day. And
yeah.
A really tough statement he's going to have to make to the American people. So whoever's advising this man to stand down, who was ever in the military intelligence complex, is advising the top-level people that we can roll this thing out for another 5, 10, 15 years. The American people are stupid and gullible and slow and dumb. And they're not catching on. And they don't know what's happening. We're just going to fool them for 5 more years or whatever. They need to stand down.
Right.
Because they're wrong.
Yep.
And they're not serving their country in that regard.
Two things I'd like to say about this is, one thing that came out in the day of testimony, I think it was day 4, there was representatives from Peru, Uruguay, Brazil, and other places saying, mm-hmm. you know, pilots, a lot of them pilots, talking about their military experience. But one thing I didn't know before that people may not know is that every single one of them said the United States military was there. When we had something like this happen, they were there. They've been in every country, and they've been on top of this issue in every country all these years.
Absolutely. That's one way they maintain the truth embargo. If a vehicle were to crash outside our borders, you can bet that we're going to make every effort we can to get it. Whatever we have to do, beg, borrow, we're going to get that vehicle. If there are events and we have access to that country, we're going to get in there. And so,
any of these other 13 countries, you know, they'll be able to say, "Your military was here with us when it happened."
Yeah. Again, you know, I made it clear that the disclosure race is on. The U.S. is no longer holding the only card at the table. We are still the most powerful nation in the world. And as you go back in time, 4 years, 5 years, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, you clearly have a situation where we have got a lot of influence on many nations. And our military go in and say, look, if you want our cooperation here, or if you expect to get money there, or whatever the arrangements are, then you need to cooperate with us on this event. Right, we don't want it out. We want the material, whatever. But what's happened since 1992, and particularly since 2000, is America's prestige and respect for the United States has fallen profoundly in the world because of actions taken by the government. Other nations have advanced. Brazil is now the 6th largest economy in the world, and the U.S.'s ability to go in and just elbow the people within the country of some event out of the way and demand this and demand that is eroding. And in some cases, it's probably zero.
Right.
We are, you know, but there are still people in American government that are operating under profound delusions and illusions about where the U.S. is right now, what's going on in the world. These people are a massive liability for the country, particularly if they're in any position, power, influence. They need to be gotten rid of. They need to stand down and be gone, find another line of work. God's sakes, don't make policy or advise anybody if it is making policy. And on this issue, the most important issue in the world today, it is clear that the president is not being advised properly, and the military intelligence community is locked up. They can't act, which I understand. They serve the president. The president is their boss. For them to act outside the president's directive is treason.
Right. Well, that brings me to my next question.
Yes.
One thing that was covered by Dr. Thomas Vallone at the hearing was the technologies that we have, and Dr. Greer brought this out, and Dr. Wood and others. There are private companies making a lot of money off of the secret space program, and we don't know a thing about it. We know nothing about it, but it's got to be so much money that it's become the hindrance. You had an anonymous witness, and he brought out a story about how President Eisenhower he was locked out of the information, and he said, the witness said, I'm going to take the army in there, and we're going to invade you guys, and we're going to find out what's going on. So I guess my question is, you know, what is tying the hands of the president? What can he do?
Yeah. First of all, I think that statement about Eisenhower bringing in the Third Army Corps from Colorado, probably hyperbole.
I don't know.
Hyperbolically making that statement. Whether he would actually do that, I kind of doubt. But anybody listening would have got the point. The military intelligence complex is vast now. It's huge, extremely powerful, has a huge amount of money, enormous amounts of secrecy, secret facilities. It can do what it wants, when it wants, how it wants.
Right.
And it's successfully been able to, with the compliance of the American people, it has gone along with this whole thing, lockstep.
Right.
In other words, whatever it takes to defeat the Russians, do it. Underground bases, spy, lie, cheat, overthrow dictators, assassinate, whatever you got to do. Save us from the Russians and their 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 nuclear weapons. I get it. So they took that license and ran with it. Can't blame them, really. But now they've got this monster, this huge thing, highly compartmentalized, deeply secret, consuming vast amounts of money. And they don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to reform it. They don't know how to tame it. They're riding the tiger.
Yeah.
And the tiger has decided that the president and Congress really have no need to know about important matters like ETs and God knows what else. And that, of course, is going to ultimately lead to the ruin of the republic. So,
yeah.
It's a simple equation. Disclosure is nothing more than a simple acknowledgement of the ET presence. The reform, and that's a trivial thing in a way that would take a few seconds. The reform of the secret empire is going to take decades of work on the part of tens of thousands of people.
I agree.
It's a major, major undertaking.
Yeah.
Again, disclosure is actually pretty easy. So I'm suggesting that one of the reasons they may be reluctant to disclose is they're just not ready to start that reform project because it's just too much work. And why in the hell would they want to work on our behalf? Just because we elected them or are paying their salaries or that they signed an oath to do so? Again, this is the disconnect that is ruining the social contract in America. Hopefully that's disconnect can be altered and we can get going again.
I don't think that that's the only scenario that could run through. I think it's possible we could fire the ones that we elected, and maybe the extraterrestrials have a plan in place and they could help us with their technology and things could change faster than decades.
Mm. Well, I don't know what the extraterrestrials plan. There is no question that throughout the second half of the 20th century, two things are going on which are very disturbing. One, huge amount of technological research is going on in secret black programs in the military and stuff, on a whole range of that, which included the energy and propulsion systems behind the ET craft that have been obtained through crashes or by whatever means.
Right.
And that technology is not available to us, right? Because to bring it out would be, of course, to end the truth embargo. So if you're not prepared to end the truth embargo, you have to hold on to the technology. But something else was going on. And the reasons for this are more complicated, more harder to understand.
Right.
A little ambulance situation here. Anyway.
You've got to be in D.C. It's the loudest city I've ever been in, and I grew up in New York.
Oh, it can be loud. Over the years, from 1950 to the present, an extraordinary number of patents that were addressing what we'll call exotic energy and propulsion systems were confiscated by the government, or the inventors were intimidated to close down, or disappeared, or died,
right.
Oddly.
It was around 5,000 and something, wasn't it?
Don't know, but it's a big number. This is very disturbing. There could be many, many reasons for this, but when you look at the kinds of technologies that were being basically closed out and taken deep black, they very much, in many cases, seem to connect to the kinds of technologies one would possibly be learning about in re-engineering saucers, ET saucers.
Right.
And so one might think that they don't want those technologies advancing in the private arena because it would put pressure on the truth embargo. It would enhance the people's desire to press the government for the real deal, right? Now, in terms of corporations, you see, I mean, in big technology corporations, the government can tie them up real easy. They give them grants. They bring them in. That gives them control over the development, the patents, and everything else. But it was the private inventors that are the problem. And the evidence mounts that just across the board, enormous amount of tech has been scoffed up. This is anti-intellectualism, and it is not constitutional, probably. It's gross abuse of power and secrecy.
Right.
And that is one of the side issues that rides along with the ET issue that... It helps to justify why people ought to pay real close attention to the ET issue in the future, because that has already impacted the lives of every single living person in the world, and will continue to do so. And so, there's a lot riding on this. And if those technologies have been suppressed, that is one more thing that certain elements of the government are going to have to answer for, and they're not going to be comfortable. It's going to be very tough. And you know. Though a lot of those decisions were made by people that are probably dead now, there's been plenty made by people still alive. So everybody's covering themselves and their butt, and not enough people really care about the impact on the country. Greed, selfishness, abuse. Hey, that's human. That's what we do. We're the best at it. But it is the role of the people and the people's advocates to stop those things. I mean, and the press. That's what you got, right? I mean, unless you want to have a revolution, you have a revolution and get a bunch of guns together and you can storm the Capitol and shoot a bunch of people. But revolutions rarely lead anywhere good. Occasionally they have some upside, but they're extremely destructive. And in the modern age, a revolution like that would be a catastrophe. So the press and the people and their advocate representatives have got to press and push the government back away from these bad policies. And so one of them is the technology suppression. At a time when we are told every single day that we are pressing the limits of our food, our water, our rivers, our oceans, our sky, the limits of social discord, right?
Right?
The rise of terrorism, and on and on and on.
Right.
At a time we still have 25,000 nuclear weapons still stockpiled, submarines still in the ocean, bioweapon technology still underway, that... You know, all this technology needs to be kept hidden because we don't really need it. Or, you know, it wouldn't have any public use, right? It's all just weapons. It's a mess. It really is.
It
and
is.
The more you look at it, the more I guess, both angry, disgusted, and then sometimes despairing you get, because it is a real mess. I mean, we have tied ourselves up as a major knot because of the Cold War, but I understand that. The Cold War was no trivial thing. It was the summum bonum of the human need to make weapons and destroy. It was it. We finally reached it. We had the ability to pretty much destroy all of civilization by launching 10, 12,000 nuclear warheads, setting off fires that would sweep continents, and also putting enough stuff in the air that it would bring on a kind of winter, kill off the vegetation, set us back God knows how many hundreds of years, kill off billions of people. We done it. We did it. We actually pulled it off, and we were on the verge of using those weapons numerous times. That is a major phenomena, and something of that magnitude, not surprisingly, had the power to twist the social contracts of many nations into real knots, right? And there was no rope too big, too thick, that the Cold War and all of its implications couldn't tie into a knot. And so we're still trying to untie the knots of that 44-year excursion into the dark side, which still lingers with us, and we could still have a nuclear war. But most people say, well, the worst is over. But those 44 years are pretty heavy, and a lot of the biggest problems we have today, not to mention the $15 or so trillion that the Soviet Union and the United States spent on that little standoff, right? Money that could have gone to hospitals and feeding people and building bridges and infrastructure and education and free internet and a million other things.
Right.
Built ballistic missiles and ran massive armies and defense forces and weapons production for 44 years, about $15 trillion.
Right.
Just, what can I say? You don't do something like that and get off scot-free, and we haven't gotten off scot-free. What we're dealing with now are the knots, the entanglements, dysfunction that are the children of Cold War, and we're 22 years in, and we have made very little progress, in my view, in untangling those knots.
That 22 years ago, I was a high school kid, and back then, if you landed in Munich Airport on holiday, the police carried M16s in the airport, and every other movie out of Hollywood was about the Cold War and keeping it going in our minds.
Hmm. Well, there's plenty of M16s still in airports around the world.
Yeah.
We just recently completed a beautiful building down in Foggy Bottom, just down from the State Department, off Constitution Avenue. It's called the Institute for Peace.
Right. Is that the
I haven't engaged it yet. Whether or not they're doing anything at all for peace in that building, I have no idea. Don't see them on TV anywhere, and they made very little presence, but maybe they're just getting started up. But it's notable that it took till 2013, or 2012, actually, before we completed a building for the Institute of Peace. It's progress of a sort, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's where we got to go.
That's right.
We have to get away from the permanent war economy. We have to get away from that paradigm, or it's over for us as a viable civilization. And while we may regroup in a while, 50, 100 years, the amount of pain and suffering that's going to take place in the 20th century is going to be beyond pale. It's going to be beyond anything that even the worst pessimists, those that have lived through World War II, for instance, still survive, can't imagine, because we're going to have 9 billion people pretty soon.
Yeah.
That's very tough number, and we're not ready for it. So, again, how are we going to get going? And I think disclosure is the Kickstarter. It's the Kickstarter campaign for the new century. It launches everything, gets things underway. It's only the beginning. The real work will lie ahead, but the enthusiasm and the energy for that work, I think, will be profound in the aftermath of an event of the magnitude of this book.
Yeah, I agree. It's that sums it all up. I don't know what else to say after that.
Well, we can say these things. One of the important outcomes of the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure is that the committee members who entered the hearing process.
Pretty neutral.
Open-minded, but neutral.
And were profoundly impacted by the testimony they heard over 5 days. And by and large, all want to help. They came together and met with all of the representatives from the other nine nations.
Mm.
They are the witness representatives. And a decision was made to introduce a communique that was dated May 3, signed by four of the committee members. Two committee members could not sign because they were in the quiet period after leaving the Congress in January of this year. And they will be in that period until January of next year. They're not allowed to engage or directly or indirectly any foreign governments or the U.N. And this communique calls for the Citizen Hearing Foundation, which has been established, to raise funds to pursue sponsorship by a number of nations to introduce a resolution in the General Assembly calling for a world conference on the evidence that we have possible engagement by extraterrestrials, both now and in the past. The last time the UN engaged this issue was 78. It didn't last very long. A commission was set up that didn't do anything. But that was 13 years before the end of the Cold War, and there was no chance that the UN would be allowed to do anything. The U.S. doesn't want the U.N. to do anything, but the U.N. has shown some signs that it would like to.
Right.
And so we are going to start raising those funds, and we are already making the overtures, and we hope to have sponsorship of that hearing very soon from several countries, and we'll keep adding sponsors. So in addition to all the pressure being put on the U.S. government, and we're not going to stop doing that, we're about to bring the U.N. again back into the picture with the informator of the former members of Congress. So that was a significant outcome from the citizen hearing, a non-trivial outcome to be sure. And, the webcast, which is still available, citizenhearing.org. We have archived the two principal webcasts, the English and Spanish. We're working to archive some additional languages. Those are going to be available for subscription. And people sign up, they're helping us to recapture some of the funds we need to pay off the $1.6 million that is owed for the creation of the event and the documentary. It was not a grant.
Right.
But of course, the more people that watch it, the more people know what's going on and so forth. So we have to be able to spread the word about the webcast at citizenhearing.org. And also, and we needed to have more language on this up, people must understand that internet live stream is not like television. It's not like you can go anywhere, turn the TV on, and you know exactly what you're going to get. Live stream is a developing technology. There are so many different kinds of computers, operating systems, people with different levels of computer savvy, that you simply cannot get 100% satisfaction on the people that purchase or subscribe to stream, live stream, on events, and even archive stream. That's one of the reasons we made it so cheap. I mean, it's like $3.80 for the entire 30-hour live stream and $3.80 to access the archives for 30 days.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't understand that. They're expecting it to be just like TV, and
right.
It's not. So I hope they'll bear with us, doing the best we can.
I'll help to get that word out, and I'm also asking for major investors to come forward as well.
Yes. If there are some people that are of a mind to grant money to this advocacy process, well, that would be great, because we could pay off the contract on the movie project, and that would allow us to immediately start putting cash into more advocacy projects. But the production company, of course, that is a standard company. The Citizen Hearing Foundation is a nonprofit. It is a pending nonprofit 501c3. It can accept tax deductible contributions from anywhere in the world, from any entities in the world, as is the case for all 501c3. We are certainly hoping that some people that understand that this truth process must not slow, must succeed.
Right.
And are impressed with the citizen hearing that we created, might be able to put the kind of money in the Citizen Hearing Foundation in return for tax deduction that would allow us to immediately put on additional citizen hearings, which we intend to do, and pursue the UN as we've been chartered by the communique, without interruption, right?
Absolutely.
So I appreciate your putting that word out. We would love to have some major donors turn up to empower the Citizen Hearing Foundation to do its job. And at the citizenhearing.org, there is a simple foundation page where you can see the mission statement and also you can see the communique that was issued from the Citizen Hearing. In pretty short order, we will have a Citizen Hearing Foundation site up, and we will have all the information there, and we will center the fundraising from that website.
Very good. Well, I will spread the word on those things, and I appreciate you mentioning it, and I wanted to thank you for the exemplary service you've done for advocacy in recent times with this hearing. It's amazing.
You're very welcome. Appreciate it. As does my partner, Ruben Langdon.
Yes.
West Coast Entertainment, which is going to be creating a film, which we hope will be a breakthrough film. And I assure you, we are going to move heaven and earth to get that into theaters. There are plenty of ways to put movies out now. I know paste, print, pay reviews, and QuickTime, and DVDs, and all that stuff. And that's the future. I get it. Right? But putting a documentary and a subject into full theater distribution is a mark of acceptance. It is a milestone. Other than a documentary back in the 70s on, I think, Velikovsky or something, and Worlds in Collision, still something like that, tangential, there has never been a documentary on this subject that has been given proper theatrical distribution, full theatrical distribution, in spite of the fact that the over 300 movies and scores of television shows that have dealt with, quote, extraterrestrials have generated $75 billion in revenue and have the highest ratings of any genre in media or in entertainment media. Somehow or another, no documentary in this subject was deemed fit to be in the theaters of the United States. That is going to stop. And so we are going to do everything we can. Now, if we got significant funding, outside funding, a couple million, then that would allow us to self-distribute, meaning don't need a studio deal, don't need a distribution deal. We will self-distribute the movie, cut our own deals with huge blocks of theaters, provide our own print and so forth, guaranteeing that distribution. So we're certainly available for that. But we're going to do everything we can to do it. If it doesn't make it in the theaters, it won't be for lack of trying. Time for this milestone to be breached. And it's time for the entertainment industry to decide, look, when are we going to stop just milking this cow and start taking care of this cow? In other words, I understand they need to make money, and they make tons of it. But, you know, there's a real extraterrestrial presence, and there's real issues here, and Hollywood doesn't hesitate to get involved in social political issues all the time. When are they going to get involved in this one? Because this one has paid them more money. I can assure you, Hollywood and the entertainment industry is fully behind saving the whales and the dolphins. But I can assure you, whales and dolphins have made nothing, relatively speaking, for the entertainment industry. Right? I think Free Willy probably made some bucks. And this issue, the ET extraterrestrial issue, they have made scores of billions of dollars. And it's time for them to step up and do what I consider their civic responsibility and help us get the truth about this issue. Then they can make even more movies about it and probably have even more people come to watch them.
I know that Ruben Langdon at Just Cause Entertainment with Jeremy Corbell and their crews have already filmed it. And it's ready to go. And I would call on one person who has the ability to give a tax-deductible donation of $2 million to just do it, because having this in the theaters means the media can no longer turn away. The public can no longer turn away.
That's the game plan. We're ready to do more here. We're ready to get this documentary into theaters. We're ready to do everything that is needed, and the principal thing that determines the pace upon which we proceed is the amount of funding. And we're very fortunate to have the money to do the hearing and the movie, don't get me wrong. But it was not a grant, it was a production deal, and it has to be repaid off with interest.
Right.
And until that's paid off, we will, unless we have funding into the foundation, going to be limited in what we can do. And so it's up to the American people. How badly do you want the truth on this?
Right.
Do you care if the government lies to you about something? Do you care about the dysfunction of Congress and in the media? If it matters to you, will you help us change that?
Right on the heels of disclosure is reformation in every area for every malady on the earth.
In some respects, I agree. By the way, and I have to leave you with this, Beth, because I've got to get down to, if I may.
Of course.
An amazing coincidence took place yesterday. Wait a minute. Yeah, yesterday. 12 years ago, on May the 9th, 2001, is when the Disclosure Project held a very large press conference, one of the largest ever held at the press club. They had about 18 witnesses, some of which were at the citizen hearing.
Right.
Testified to events and evidence, pointing toward an extraterrestrial presence, and they had substantial backgrounds, security clearances, and what have you. Well, 12 years later, on May the 9th, just a few days after the end of the citizen hearing, Congress held a hearing on exoplanets, probably one of the science and technology committees. They held a hearing to, you know, listen to testimony about all of these huge numbers of planets they're now finding that are capable of supporting life like Earth, Earth-like planets, Goldilocks zone planets. The number of planets in the solar system is now estimated at some vast number of billion. And so the whole idea of rare Earth has been completely put aside. And so more and more people are realizing there's definitely life in the universe, though they may not understand it's already here. And so the Congress actually took a hearing on that yesterday at night. I thought that was amazing. I don't know if that was intentional. I have no idea. But it was noted. So the Congress is saying, look, we're paying attention. We're doing something. We're looking at the exoplanets. And all I can say to them is, that's great, but you guys are 40 years behind the curve. All right? You're still in 1970, but good on for trying, right? We'll give you a point there, but you're way behind the curve. Hopefully Congress will get that message, because one half-day hearing on exoplanets is not going to affect their approval rating one iota.
All right. That is cool. That's good to know that news. That's interesting. Appreciate that.
All right, Beth, is it, I've got to get down to a meeting. Is it okay if we break here? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, we're ready. Appreciate your time very much. I know everybody does too. Well, we'll get this word out.
Thanks a lot. And I'll be back on your show, I'm sure, in the near future. Looking forward to it. Until then, I'll see you when I see you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Bye.
One thing I can say, everybody, is that the world will never be the same after the citizens' hearing on disclosure. It will never be the same. The word is going out exponentially around the world, what happened there. And I'm working on finishing the full transcript of the hearings. I was taking it down as it was happening. And when I have that available, I'm going to post it. And I would like you to share that widely. The transcripts will not infringe on, these other things that he's talking about. Registration technologies and internet licensing. I've told him, and I mean, I asked permission from Paradigm Research Group and Just Cause Entertainment, and they said, "Yeah, you can post the transcripts." So, I appreciate all your help in getting the word out, everybody. And if you know anybody who has a couple million dollars laying around that can help out with this issue, please approach them. And thanks for being here. We'll see you on Monday. Namaste.